Someone else, though, that's going to fill us in a little bit more on what's going on today with the Chiefs. The news of the day, Rashee Rice going to have a disciplinary hearing on September 30th in New York at the NFL League offices, which would lead us to believe he will be available week one. Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from ESPN, calls into the show. Nate, your reaction? We were surprised to see. Now we got to wait till September 30th.
Yes, this is a surprise for a couple reasons. Really quick, Rashee Rice must have some of the greatest lawyers that money can buy. Because normally, and again, we saw what happened. I don't know if you guys mentioned this. We saw what happened with Jordan Addison for the Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhat similar situation. He's already been suspended. Now, each situation is different. So Rashee has made it clear that he wants to play. He wants to start the season in uniform for the Chiefs. His lawyers have essentially accomplished that. The players union has essentially accomplished that. And I think the second reason why this is surprising too is this comes at this point in the lead up to opening night in Brazil against the Chargers. We have now concluded training camp, and now the Chiefs have 3 weeks to really prepare for what their offense is going to look like with Josh Simmons at left tackle, right? With Kingsley, we presume at left guard. Now you know you have your full complement of receivers. I don't think we're going to see Hollywood Brown, guys, until the Chiefs are in Brazil. So you have the actual offense on paper potentially being on the field against the Chargers, which has to infuriate their AFC West rival, because we know the Chargers have more injuries right now. Obviously, they're not going to have Rashawn Slater, one of their best pass protectors in the game. But for the Chiefs and for Patrick Mahomes specifically, okay, I know I have my revamped offensive line. I have my number one receiver in Rashee Rice. I still got Travis Kelce, who's looked very good in training camp. And now we have everybody in their proper role. Hey, Juju Smith-Schuster is going to be our possession receiver. We know what Xavier Worthy can do on the deep ball. Hey, I might have Tyquan Thornton for a couple snaps just to see if he can win one-on-one based on what he's shown in training camp in the preseason. And then, of course, you know, I still have Jalen Royals. I still have Hollywood Brown and what limited role he'll have on opening night. This gives the Chiefs plenty of time to really be prepared and be ready to go on opening night against the Chargers, because they now know Rashee Rice will be in uniform.
Nate, one of the things Cody and I were going back and forth on trying to just talk, you know, kind of talk out the situation a little bit, was we know if there's an on-field incident that a player can appeal and it prompts a disciplinary hearing. With what you're saying, obviously this is an off-the-field incident. You believe this is something the Chiefs and or Rashee Rice actually wanted? They wanted this pushback?
This is what Rashee Rice wanted.
Okay.
Is the way I'm reading this. Based on all the conversations I had. And again, I think the players union is trying its best, given their situation.
Yeah, no kidding.
Trying their best to do right by a client where, hey, now the question, you know, okay, we know he's going to be there on September, right? For all the games September. Hey, four games, you know, I think the Chiefs are thrilled with this development. Obviously, this is what Rashee Rice wanted. Now, you have to think about this. The NFL knows that just because this occurs now means they themselves, as an organization, as its own investigation, and I want to make that very clear, the NFL obviously knows what happened from a legal standpoint, from what has gone on in Dallas, but the NFL will do its own investigation once the legal situation is resolved. That, of course, we knew recurred right before training camp. So the NFL itself has until September 30th to do as much investigating about Rashee Rice and about what happened and the injuries to the people that were hurt in this multi-car accident in broad freaking daylight on Easter weekend in 2024. They will have all this time to do their own investigation so that they can present all their evidence in terms of what Roger Goodell wants to do from a decision standpoint on what the suspension is. Now, if you're listening, ladies and gentlemen, you're going, okay, well, if they have until September 30th to do that, well, what does that mean? Well, can you build out a case to where you say, hey, this is why it's six games. This is why it has to be six games. Do not appeal. Do not stop us. Take the suspension now. You know, thankfully, for your own financial purposes, you got four game checks to start handling some of these legal fees, right? So I think that's what the NFL is probably – as best as I can understand, that's their view of this as well. Okay, if we concede September, we have enough time to say, hey, this is why moving forward, using UN as example, this is going to be a 6-game, regardless of how much goodwill you've done between, you know, the incident occurring and where we are now on this day. So I think the NFL will have its case ready to go, you would assume, by September 30th.
I hope so.
If you're the Chiefs, you're like, hey, I just looked at the calendar, fellas. It's very easy for anybody to do. I just wrote this for ESPN.com alongside Adam Schefter. If everything goes the way the Chiefs want, Rashee Rice will get a 4-game suspension, which means he would be eligible to return on November 2nd against the Buffalo Bills right before their bye week. The NFL, if they say it's 6 games, that means you're going to have to miss all that time, the bye week, the next game, and then you come back in the middle of November, which obviously means you're going to have a little bit less of a run-up to get Rashee Rice ready to go for postseason time, we all assume.
Nate, is this a more complicated case than the NFL is typically handling because of the jail time thing? Is that what's throwing it off? Because they've obviously had people who sped, had people who got in accidents. Hell, Jordan Addison, right, just pled to a lesser DUI charge. They've had other players plead to DUI charges. This doesn't, on its ground, seem way different than other traffic infractions that cause problems other than the jail time. That seems, is that a hang-up for the NFL? Is that some part of where the 6 games maybe comes in play?
I guess you could, I think that's a fair assumption, right? I think you can say, hey, that's got to be a variable into this that is unusual compared to most cases like you just mentioned. So if we know he's got some 30 days, is he going to fulfill his probation? Well, kids, his probation's 5 years, right? Theoretically. Now, obviously, that could be reduced down. Who knows what happens in the future? But again, as of right now, 30 days in jail or house arrest, however you want to divvy it up, you're going to do community service. And who knows? Who knows how long the probation is? But at least the probation is going to be at least, what, a couple years, one would presume?
Yeah, I think so.
But again, considering Rashee Rice's legal team, I don't know, guys. I guess you could say that. But again, for the NFL, who's talking to the NFL? That becomes the question now between us talking at this very moment and when Rashee Rice enters the league's offices on September 30th. Hey, who have we talked to? What have they said? Hey, if you decline to talk to us now, hey, let's just see how you want to chat with us after week two. When Rashee Rice may have had like a touchdown against the Philadelphia Eagles. Hey, remember, he did bodily harm to you, not life threatening, but you could argue that. Do you want to talk to us now? Do you want to, you know, how many times can the investigator or investigators, depending on how much the league, you know, can use its resources to get people to talk about Rashee and how he's been since the accident, what it was like that day in particular. Again, ladies and gentlemen, he's on camera leaving the car. So if I can say that out loud, I mean, like,
yeah,
you know, hey, what did you see? You were there. What do you remember? What was it like in the hospital? Like, all these questions are valid. And so it gives themselves a little bit more time. And because he's going to serve 30 days in some capacity, even though you're a first-time offender, that's a pretty big first-time offense, even still, from most guys who don't have to do jail time.
Nate, I guess there's a question I have that's opposite this, like where I understand Rashee Rice is pushing for this because he's trying to stay on the field for at least the early part of the season, and that the NFL would probably prefer. Are you surprised that Andy's cool with this, I guess? Andy seems like the kind of guy who'd want it out of the way and then everything to be normal the rest of the time. Versus, let's have Rashee Rice, then not have Rashee Rice, then have Rashee Rice. It seems like he would prefer it just be done and then move on. Is Andy not any part of this decision-making?
Well, wouldn't you know, kids, some things have changed over the last few years. I'm so glad you mentioned this, Cody, because if you would have told me in like 2019, 2020, yes, this would be his standard, you know, stamping in approval, just get it out of the way. But I'm going to bring a couple examples. The Chiefs signed Charles Omenihu knowing he was likely going to be suspended because of his own, domestic situation January prior to him returning to the team. They still signed him, came back in the middle of the year, obviously made impactful plays in the postseason to lead them for the Super Bowl. Everyone has said this, I shouldn't say everyone, but I know some fans have reached out to me and said, hey, could this be similar? And I didn't know at the time, but we got a much better answer now. Could this be like Willie Gay? Hey, and this was handled better, I think, publicly from both sides than the Willie Gay situation, which is, hey, this thing also happened in like late season, postseason time. Okay, when does it get adjudicated? When does it get cleared, you know, legally? What are the parties agree to? And then tick, 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 tick. Yeah, it's four games in October. Well, the Chiefs knew that before the public did, before the league had to announce it. But, hey, Willie Gay came back. Guess what happened, kids? Played really well. Was an impactful player. They won the Super Bowl. I think Andy understands for Rasheed's own world, he would like to go back to playing football to get some level of normalcy. If we can offer him that, and, you know, Andy has no say in this, of course, but understandably, if we can offer him that, and he can come back and he can be with the team and he can be successful and he can see the full circle of, hey, man, what you lost based on the injury, what you lost financially, like all these things will better serve you in terms of actually what he tells us, hey, I think he's actually learned something. So, hey, let's see this next phase of it. You know, let's see you perform well. Glad to have you back. Obviously, you're going to take some suspension. Hey, it is your prerogative to have your legal team, you know, argue your case to give you as much time before you have to serve a suspension, which, again, everyone I talk to still says, yes, he's going to be suspended. It's just you're doing the legal process now with the NFL in which you can have the time to actually perform on the field for a little bit and get back to being get a slice of what you hope your NFL career and your life will be before you have to do the suspension. I think Andy Reid's okay with that, just because he's gone through this with a few other guys, and based on the injury, based on the financials of it all, hey, the Chiefs need to evaluate him too. I think that's a big thing. They would like to evaluate him in the early part of the season. Hey, how does he handle the suspension? Hey, how does he perform when he comes back from the suspension towards the postseason? Because guess what, kids? Next spring,
yeah,
we can actually have some conversation about an extension, and we would like to see how you handled every little piece along the way so that we can go to the negotiation table and say, okay, here's what the organization feels comfortable with based on what we saw you do the entire calendar year from last spring to this spring.
A couple more minutes here with Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from The Athletic. I know Andy will not speak again until after the preseason game on Friday, and I don't know how much he'll say. I know everybody will be asking him a little bit about what's now going on with this. What do you think this does for the back end of the roster, you know, keeping seven receivers, for example, now that, you know, before we were thinking, oh, you got to have maybe an extra guy available week one. Now you don't necessarily, but also you could need the numbers later in the year. What do you think, if anything, this now new timeline does?
So, if you're on the back end of the roster, it's a tough day. It's a really tough day. And I would advise you, start packing your things, guys. Because now there's no guarantee that the Chiefs will have Nico Remigio on opening night. There's no guarantee that the Chiefs will have Tyquan Thornton. What happens with Jason Brownlee, who kind of became a late bloomer in training camp? And of
a
course,
Camp Darling, you could say.
Yeah, right. You know, because of what he did, obviously, in the first preseason game against the Cardinals. For all three of those guys, for Sky Moore included, yeah, start packing your things, get your arrangements in order, because, and here's a difficult part, you would obviously pick Rashee Rice over all those dudes, and the Chiefs are essentially going to have to do that. But who can you convince to wait 4 to 5 weeks to then be on the field, to then be a contributor? Man, that's asking a lot when every other team knows your situation in the league, and now every team says, hey, can we get a call? This also squashes or squeezes the Chiefs' ability to make a trade before the cutdown day, too, because, hey, guess what? I know your situation, and you're going to keep six receivers. And so that seventh, that eighth guy that I could really value, well, why would I trade for him now? Like, get out of here. You know?
So,
yeah, exactly. I would prefer Nico Remigio, because special teams is still important. But I could understand why the team might pick Tyquan Thornton. He's your best all-around receiver compared to the rest of that group at the bottom of the roster. And lastly, for Sky Moore, I'm going to the coaching staff and saying, I don't want to come off the field Friday. I don't want to come off the field next Friday. I need to showcase who I am right now for these next two preseason games, and I want to be on the field as much as possible. I do not want to come out. Connor Emery, get out my face. I need to be running routes and blocking and performing for my next team right now. And you can argue the same thing about Nico Remigio. You can argue the same thing about Jason Brownlee. I don't know if you could say, hey, this team wants to take my services for week one of the NFL season, and you want me to say no to that so that I can wait around for week five.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard to do. And so for all of those guys, I would tell Andy, don't play any of the skill position players that you're going to play in Sao Paulo. Right now, it's probably time to do right by those guys at the bottom end of the roster so that they can present themselves to the rest of the league, because the rest of the league now knows the situation. So if you have it in your heart for Nico, for Tyquan, for Jason, for Sky, you need to let that go from a team standpoint, and you need to start thinking about them as, you know, human beings, and from a personal standpoint about how they can improve their chances. Because I guess I would give Tyquan Thornton the edge right now as your sixth receiver. And again, he might not even be dressed against the Chargers. So think about all this when you're watching these last two preseason games, obviously starting tomorrow in Seattle.
Last question, Nate. Did you start making sourdough yet? Did you pick up that hobby?
No, but my wife has my wife has done some Googling. So it won't be me necessarily, but who knows? Maybe I can benefit once again from Taylor Swift. She did pre-order the album yesterday, fellas,
nice.
As we were watching the episode last night. It is a fantastic-looking vinyl. As someone who started to collect vinyls over the past couple years, yeah, man, I said, ooh, get on that website. Go get that, girl. Go get that. That vinyl looks incredible. Obviously, the artwork looks great. If I can get some sourdough by the time this thing kicks off, by the time I come back from Brazil – I will once again say thank you to Taylor. Who knows? Perhaps in person.
Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from ESPN, who's also featured on the Kingdom documentary that's coming out tonight. I did have a chance to, so did Cody, to watch a couple episodes. Nate, you're prominently featured, my man.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a surprise. It was a shock to me.
They got your wrong workplace now. Yeah, they should change the supers.
They have your prior employer, but it's okay.
Yeah. I think Holly said the same thing. She was like, why does it still say The Athletic? I said, well, babe, at the time when they interviewed me,
yeah,
I was working for The Athletic.
Fair enough.
So again, it's nice for The Athletic to have that too. It's like our last voyage together. It's really cool. But thank you for mentioning that. And I hope people enjoy it, because it's for you guys. Like, it's for anyone listening right now. Like, the Kingdom is for you. I think Chiefs fans will learn quite a bit. And it was cool to be a part of it.